real issue before the country long term, especially, is how do we adjust to all these changes that are happening around us in the world and economically? I mean, just think back to what the world was like 10 years ago compared to today. Everything, and it's not just changed, it continues to change faster than ever. And it's having an impact on real people. You know, many of the jobs that once sustained people in the middle class have now been replaced by a machine, or they're in another country, or they don't pay enough anymore. We're now engaged in a global competition. There are dozens of other countries who every single day are looking for ways to take companies away from us, or make sure companies open up and create jobs there instead of here. So these are real realities that we now have to confront, and we need leaders that understand this new world in which we live in and adjust our public policy to capitalize on it. The core of my message is America is a great country, but it can be even greater. We are not fulfilling our potential, and we can fulfill this potential and have a 21st century that's even better than the 20th century. But to do so, here are the things we're going to have to do, and I talk about how we make America globally competitive, how we help people acquire the skills they need for the new jobs, and why American leadership is so indispensable on the global stage now more than ever.
What would a President Rubio do first? What would be your top priority?
Well, let me say, first of all, the top priority of any president and of any of the federal government must always be the security of our people. It is the most important thing the federal government does, is keep us safe from our enemies. And that's an ongoing threat. And that threat ranges from China's ambitions to dominate the South China Sea to what's happening with Putin in Europe, but most immediately in front of us, the spread of radical jihadists, primarily ISIS, into Libya, Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, and growing. And then also the Iranian nuclear ambition, which is being discussed even as we speak by negotiators. So national security, rebuilding our military. I would almost immediately go to Congress and ask for supplemental funding to get us back to where we need to be on defense spending. As far as economics are concerned, there are two primary things we need to do. One is an agenda to make us globally competitive, and we'll focus on that like a laser. That means reducing our taxes on both big and small business so that we're not more expensive than other countries, passing a regulatory budget that limits the size and scope of federal regulations, and beginning to spend political capital to reform Social Security and Medicare so that we can save those programs and balance our budget. And the second thing is higher education reform. We need more vocational training in America, more people trained to be welders, plumbers, electricians, pipe fitters, all these good jobs, that, you know, airplane mechanics. We need alternatives to traditional higher education for people that have to work full-time and raise a family so they can go back to school, get the skills they need for a better-paying job. And we need to provide more information to traditional college students. They should know how much they can expect to make before they take out a student loan. These are the real priorities that our next president must establish quickly.
I'm speaking with Marco Rubio, of course, the senator from Florida and presidential candidate. On this issue of national security, a lot of people, in fact, I think almost every American, believes that there's an element of national security involved in this immigration issue. And you've always emphasized that. You've always emphasized getting tough on the border and closing down the border. One of the things that occurs to me is there right now there's a lot of talk about Donald Trump being very radical on this issue. Isn't the real radical on this issue of immigration right now Hillary Clinton?
I disagree with what Donald Trump said. I know for a fact that the vast, overwhelming majority of immigrants, not just Mexicans, but from everywhere, are not rapists, are not murderers, and are good people that are looking for a better life. And unfortunately, many have violated our immigration laws. That being said, we do have a legitimate national security interest in securing our borders. And by the way, we need to define our borders. Our borders are not just the border with Mexico. It's also our airports and our seaports, because about 40% of illegal immigrants entered legally. They came on a visa and they overstayed the visa. We have to deal with that as well. Hillary is a radical in that sense because she basically is pretending that there is no illegal immigration problem, that it's all under control, that it's never been better. And yet we've had a migratory crisis last summer with minors that continues to some extent. We have people being deported five times and each time able to come back in the country, and unfortunately led to a horrifying tragedy in San Francisco a few days ago, and you know, pretending as if this is not a serious issue. I think you can be pro-immigration. I think you can be pro-legal immigration. I think you can be compassionate and understanding about people in this country who are here illegally, and yet acknowledge that as a sovereign country, we have a right to have immigration laws, and we have a right to enforce them.
Okay, so in terms of shorthand, would it be right to say that Marco Rubio's immigration position is somewhere between Trump and Hillary Clinton?
Well, I don't wouldn't characterize it in any way other than to tell you exactly what it is. My immigration policy is, number one, I believe we must bring illegal immigration under control. And until we do that, we will not be able to make progress on any other aspect of immigration. The second thing, once we've done that, the second thing we must do is modernize our legal immigration system. If we're going to admit a million people a year to this country permanently, it needs to be primarily on the basis of what they can contribute economically, not primarily on the basis of whether they have a relative living here. And after we've done those two things, we will have to responsibly deal with the people who are here now who have not violated the law other than immigration and have been here for a long time. And we've talked about a way forward on that. You know, it's passing a background check. You have to learn English. You have to pay a fine because you violated the law. You have to start paying taxes. In exchange for all that, you would get a work permit. And that's all you would be allowed to have for a long time. Eventually, we may allow you to apply for permanent residency, but not through a special process, just like everybody else would. We can't even get to that stage, though, until we've done the other two things. And it begins with border security. And where Hillary Clinton misses the boat on this is if we do not do immigration security, we will never be able to do anything else on immigration.
One of the things that the New York Times was focusing on recently was that there are so many candidates right now. They went and interviewed people up in New Hampshire who are feeling frustrated because they simply can't tell them apart. What is the most distinctive thing about Marco Rubio, the candidate, and the Rubio campaign in terms of your agenda that makes you stick out from the rest of the field?
You know, I'll tell you about my campaign, and I don't know if others will have to tell you about theirs, but my campaign is almost 100% about what lies ahead. I think we can learn a lot about history. I think we have a lot to be proud of in our history. But this campaign has to be about the future because we are living in an era of dramatic change. We are leaving the 20th century and its economy and its problems behind, and we are entering a new era with exciting opportunities that we're going to miss out on if we don't seize them and embrace them. We are basically living through the new industrial revolution, except this one is happening faster and deeper. And I think we need to be focused on that 100%. This election, the fundamental question in this election is, what kind of country will America be in the 21st century? I believe it could have its greatest days ever. I believe our people can achieve more prosperity, more security, and more liberty than they've ever known. This is the exciting opportunity before us. We should be inspired by this, and it is what should lead us moving forward. I know of no other campaign in either party that is so focused on that. I'm optimistic about America's future because I know that our country is more than a government. I know we've had bad presidents before, and we've made it through. We'll make it through again.
Last question, and I hate in the last question to do something that reflects on the past after you've spoken so inspiringly about the future. But some of the big news today is Governor Haley this afternoon in South Carolina is going to be holding a ceremony moments from now where she celebrates the fact that the Republicans and Democrats came together in South Carolina to take the Confederate battle flag, move it from the state capitol grounds to a museum. Good thing, bad thing, or irrelevant thing?
It was the right decision for South Carolina to make. I knew they would make the decision that was best for them. I had trust and faith in their process and in their leadership. And I felt strongly that outsiders should not be coming in and telling them what to do, that they knew what to do and they would do it. And I thought it would be counterproductive. Look, I know people who see the Confederate flag as a symbol of their heritage, not as a symbol of racism. But I also know people, many people, who see it as a symbol of pain. For them, it's a reminder of an era in which, in this country, human beings were enslaved. And so that's why in Florida and in many parts of the country, people have decided that the time has come for that flag not to be displayed in government buildings. And I think it is possible to say you agree with that decision, as I do, and also say that we recognize that for many people, the flag, the reason why they're tied to it is not because of racism. They're not racist. It's a cultural attachment. But we have to recognize that for millions of Americans, it is a deeply painful symbol. And that's why it shouldn't be over government buildings, as it is not in Florida and will now not be over in South Carolina.
Very last question, Senator Rubio. I know the debates are coming up. It's now less than a month, the first debate. You will definitely be in it. Donald Trump will also definitely be in it. Our friend and colleague Charles Krauthammer recently called Donald Trump a rodeo clown. Would you use that term? What terms will you use when you're debating Mr. Trump?
Well, let me just say about all the candidates, I am not running against any of them. I am not going to spend a lot of time or energy attacking my fellow Republicans.
Good.
One of the reasons Barack Obama was reelected president is because Republicans in 2011 and 12 spent too much time calling each other names, and it just debilitated the party. I'm going to focus on who I am, what I stand for. I think we have a very strong field of quality people. As I said, the Democrats can't even come up with one. I'm proud to be a part of that field. I look forward to all being on the same team here in about 9 or 10 months. And I'm going to go out and tell people who I am, where I've been, and what I'll do.